We have been studying and focusing on experiencing God and looking at the whole concept of building a relationship with God based not just simply on knowledge about God and just studying the Bible, but our experience with God, getting to know Him through our experiences. And then the idea there is that we take those experiences and we share our experiences with other people. And over the last week, we focused on, told you we had two lessons here in this, and we're going to move on to something else beginning next week. But last week, we looked at the whole idea of making a difference. In other words, our experience with God should make a difference in our lives, in the way that we live our lives. And we talked about the whole idea of change and how God is in the change business, and He wants us to change from being what we were to being what He can make us and wants us to be. And we even looked at the whole idea of that sometimes we look at the things in our lives that need to be changed, and sometimes we look at those things as being kind of hopeless. We've tried changing them many, many times before, but it just seems like there's no way we're ever really going to change. Or even the situations that we're in, that they're never going to change. And we talked about how God is a God of hope, and that He works with us, and He builds us, and He makes us to what He wants us to be. And so an experience with God and living in a relationship with God should be making a difference in our daily lives. Now, this morning, as we're going to look at the other aspect of this making a difference, and that is that experiencing God should be making a difference in the lives of other people. If it's not, then our experience with God is being ineffectual. It's not doing what it needs to be doing. So we need to be looking at and considering, what is my experience with God in my life? What is that doing for the lives of other people? How is it affecting the lives of other people? What difference am I making in the lives of others because of my relationship with Christ? I want to call your attention. We're going to begin this morning. If you look on your outline, the first topic is, you will be my witnesses. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus, just before He ascended to heaven, after His resurrection from the dead, speaking to His disciples, He told them to wait in Jerusalem, and they would be receiving the gift that His Father had promised. And then He told them this, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that is our mission. That's what we are supposed to be doing, is being witnesses for Jesus Christ in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And for those of you who have not been in my Sunday morning Bible class over the last bunch of weeks, then you might be thinking, but I don't live in Jerusalem. Yes, you do. You have your own Jerusalem. In other words, we've defined our Jerusalem as the people in our immediate lives. It's our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. It's the people that we know. That's our Jerusalem. And that's the place that we need to start to make a difference in people's lives. Because Jesus has called upon us to be His witnesses, just like He did with His disciples back then. They were sent out to tell the world about Him. And you and I have been sent to do the same thing. If you look over in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, what is referred to as the Great Commission, okay? Jesus sends out His disciples. And that Great Commission, I'm convinced, still applies to you and I today. In other words, it wasn't just for His disciples at that particular time. It's for you and I today. Look at what He says here. Verse 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That very end of the age is referring to the Christian age which we are in right now. And Jesus' promise is to be with you, that is, His disciples, to the very end of that age. And that's why this commission refers to every single one of Jesus' disciples. You see, even today, that God has sent us out into the world to be able to make disciples. In other words, what He's telling us is the same thing He said to His disciples there just before He returned to heaven. You will be my witnesses. You see, that's our task. If we are to really make a difference in the lives of other people based on our experience with God, then we have got to be witnesses to other people. We've got to tell other people about our experience with God. Now, I know that in the churches of Christ, the word witnessing is a bad word. We get all kinds of scared of that word, you see, because we don't do that kind of stuff. Well, the problem is we should be. You see, we should be. We associate witnessing with all these charismatic groups and all this kind of stuff that goes on with some denominational churches, and so we don't do that kind of stuff. Well, excuse me, but Jesus said that's what we should be doing, is witnessing to people. You see? And when we are telling, and basically, when we're talking about witnessing, all we're talking about is tell your story. You see? Tell about your experience with God in your life. What has God done for you? What has God done in your life? How has He made a difference in your life? You see? How is your life different because of your relationship and your experience with God? That's what He wants you to share. You see? That's what He wants you to share. We get worried sometimes, and we've talked about in our Bible study time, you know, about, well, you know, what if somebody asks me a question I don't know or something of that nature? And my answer to that has always been, how can somebody ask you a question that you don't know about your experiences with God? You see? There's nothing you have to memorize or anything. Just tell your story. Tell your story to other people. Let them know what God is doing in your life. Let them know about your experiences with Him. You see, because part of this whole commission is what we are supposed to be. And that brings us to the second point on here in what I refer to as a good combination. Look over in Matthew chapter 5, in the text that was read for us as we began this morning. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us who and what we are. Okay? And this really is a good combination for accomplishing what God wants to have accomplished by His disciples. Look at what He says. Again, you are the salt of the earth. Okay? The salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. He goes on to say, then, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You see, salt and light are a perfect combination because the world needs plenty of both. All right? The world needs them. The world needs salt. Why? Because salt is a preservative and it also is a seasoning. Talked about that a little bit this morning in our Bible class. You see, salt was used back then, and it's still used today, by the way. Okay? If you have any doubt about that, just really stop and see what you taste when you eat that bacon you eat in the morning. Okay? All right? It's got plenty of salt in there, and the reason it's got so much salt is because it's a preservative. Okay? But that's what it's used for, is to preserve food, to keep it from spoiling. But it's also there to give flavor. Now, you see, I think that we need to be looking at the fact that we are salt. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth, in that our task in the lives of other people is to help preserve their lives, their souls. And it's also to bring seasoning to their lives. Okay? The seasoning of hope and joy and peace in the lives of other people. See, because those are the things that people need in this life, in this world, as we go from day to day. And we've talked about so many different times the struggles that we all face in our lives from day to day and time to time. And we've talked about how we oftentimes feel hopeless and helpless. And we struggle through those things, and we need that hope. We need to be able to find peace. And we need to find joy back in our lives. We talked about a couple of weeks ago all of those things. And that's what we can offer to other people based on our experience with God. As God brings those things to us, then we have them to be able to share with other people in their lives. And it's also, as he says, we are the light of the world. The world is living in darkness. And God has commissioned his disciples, that's us, to be a light that shines in the darkness so people can see their way to that hope and joy and peace. Otherwise, all they're doing is stumbling around in the darkness. And if you stop and think about it, what are the kinds of things that people are doing today to try to find some kind of joy and some kind of peace, some kind of happiness in their lives? Those things in the world don't offer any of those things, but yet that's what people are doing. They're chasing after drugs and alcohol and illicit sex. They're chasing after everything in order to find those things. And over and over and over again, people are coming up empty. Because those things cannot offer what Jesus Christ can offer. They can't even come close. Okay? And that's why God has sent us out into the world, to be a light, so that people can see their way through the darkness, so they can be able to find what God wants them to find, His Son, Jesus Christ. If we're not shining the light, then it's not going to get shown. It's not going to. People aren't going to see it. And that's why He has called upon us to do that. Our experience with God makes us salt and it makes us light. And the reason for that is not just to preserve ourselves, but so that we will make a difference in the lives of other people. If it doesn't, then like Jesus said, we become like salt that has lost its saltiness. It's no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. We become like a lamp that's been lit, but then put a bowl over top of it, and it's not good to anybody. So our experience with God should be causing us to make a difference in people's lives for Him. People need to see the light, and they need to have flavor and seasoning and preservative in their lives. And they're going to get it only from Jesus' disciples, based on our experience with God. But in doing that, in being a salt and a light for the world, going out into the world and trying to share the message of salvation with other people, there are some dangers involved in that. See? And I'm not talking really about just physical dangers. I'm talking about the spiritual danger. And so I want to call your attention over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because we need to keep in mind something that Peter tells us as his disciples. We need to keep in mind who we are. And that who we are is not only disciples of Jesus, but in this world we are aliens and strangers. And we've got to remember that. If we forget that, then we find ourselves in real danger. Because if we ever forget that we are aliens and strangers, in other words, we don't belong here, okay? Then the danger is that we get absorbed into the world. And we become just like the world, and then we are ineffective in our salt and our light. Look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. First of all, we need to remember that's who we are. We do not belong to this world. We are aliens and strangers. To abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. You see, what we've got to keep in mind is the world is not going to like our message. Okay? The message of Jesus Christ, the message of salvation, the message of hope is one that is totally against what the world is all about. And that's because Satan is living and active and working hard in the world. And so the world is not going to like what we have to say. And by the way, it's getting worse and worse as time goes on. When you see all of this opposition that we're finding more and more all the time towards Christianity here in America today, it's getting worse. The world does not like our message. Okay? And we've got to keep that in mind. But we've got to share that message anyway. See? We've got to be that salt, and we've got to be that light. But more importantly than just sharing the message with others, in other words, telling people about Jesus, we've got to make sure that we are living that message. It does absolutely no good for us to tell people that they need to give their life to Christ when they see us living our life anything but for Christ. See? Then they just see us as so many people use as an excuse today. They see us as hypocrites. See? And they don't want to have anything to do with that. So we need to live our lives as aliens and strangers because we really don't belong here. See? And we've got to be careful that we don't live in such a way that tells other people that, yes, we do belong here. In other words, our focus is on what the world offers, and we love the world and everything in the world, and we're just participating like anybody else. In other words, people see no difference between us and everyone else, then we have lost our saltiness and our light has gone out. And we have become a part of the world. We need to live like the temporary resident we really are. See? And that's what we are. You know, someone said before, we ain't getting out of this thing alive. This life that we live here, this physical life is temporary at best. See, as James talks about, our life is but a mist or a vapor. See? And one day, our lives are going to be gone. It's going to be over. And then we will spend an eternity someplace, either with God or outside of God. And that will never, ever change. But this life is temporary. And we need to live our lives as if it's temporary. See? And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, think about how do you live differently when you go and travel somewhere? You see, if you go to visit relatives, some of you have traveled to visit with people here this weekend. Well, what's different about the way that you are living this weekend or now or when you travel somewhere than when you are living at home? Well, it's things like you're living out of a suitcase, perhaps. You don't have all of the things that you normally have at home. You don't bring everything you have with you, including the old proverbial kitchen sink, right? You leave that kind of stuff at home. And you just bring what you need for the time you're going to be gone. Why? Because you know that this trip, this time away, is temporary. And so you understand that it is different than when you are at home, which is your permanent dwelling place. And it's that concept that we need to have in our life with Christ. That we need to live as if we are here temporarily. And so in the same way that when we leave home for a weekend or for a week vacation or whatever it might be, when we do that, we leave a lot of our stuff at home, don't we? And we are doing without it. Well, if we're to live as aliens and strangers here and realize and recognize that we are living here temporarily, then we've got to realize that there's an awful lot of stuff that this world has to offer that we need, not just can, but we need to live without. Okay? Because there's an awful lot of stuff that this world is offering that will do nothing but distract us and pull us away from God and from our mission to be salt and light. If we truly are to make a difference in people's lives, and I believe that we're supposed to be, that's what this is all about, you see, our experience with God that each and every one of us has individually should be causing us not only to make a difference in our own life, but in the lives of other people. Because God has sent us into this world for a time, temporarily, so that we will bring seasoning and help preserve people's spiritual lives, and that we will shine a light so that people can see in the darkness and find their way to Jesus. If that's not happening in your life, then something's got to change. Something with your experience with God has got to change, or something within your attitude, within your heart, or what have you. Something's got to change, because if you're not making a difference, then you have become ineffectual. You have become salt that has lost its saltiness, and you have become a light that is covered by a bowl. Now, I want you to think about that and ask yourself, okay, what's happening in my experience with God? In my life, what's happening there? Okay, what I mean by that is, what's taking place between you and God in your relationship? Are there some things that are going on, in other words, in your life, in your relationship with God, that is blocking you from being effective in your own growth, in your relationship, or in sharing with other people? Is there perhaps some sin that's involved in your life that Satan has got you bound up on, and so you have lost your effectiveness? If so, then I urge you to repent of that right now. Let's get rid of it. Let's unbind you, and let's loose the chains that Satan's got wrapped around you so that you can be effective again for the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you haven't given your life to Christ yet, you're still lost in your sins, and you're separated from God by those sins. But I'm here to tell you right now that you can change that. See? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then you need to confess Him as such. Repent of the sins that are separating you from God. You can have those sins washed away in baptism right now, this morning. You don't have to wait any longer. If that's what you're ready to do, then all you have to do is come up and let me know. And we'll make that happen right now. God wants you to experience Him in your life. And He wants those experiences that you have to make a difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of other people. And so I call upon you to look at what's going on in your life and your experience with God. And is there something that we can help you with to make that more effective for you and for other people? We're going to stand together and sing a song. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to go and have a private talk or prayer with Ted back there. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who would like to come up front. Tom, let's stand and sing.